It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, Satellite Guys users, welcome to another exciting SatelliteGuys.us podcast. You know, we were going to podcast last night, but we had a feeling that there was major news coming down the line for today, Scott.
Well, yeah, some major news. And besides, Bob had to go see Batman last night, and that's what really delayed us tonight. But that's all good, because we found out today that DirecTV 11 has been handed over from Boeing to DirecTV's control. This means that we could see DirecTV 11 transmitting very, very, very soon.
Yeah, a lot of DirecTV users woke up this morning to find out that they could see DirecTV's 11's transponders in the receiver, but there's no signals coming yet from the satellite. They're all viewing zeros.
Right, but that's going to be changing over the course of the next week or so. And like I reported in my multi-channel news today, I'm hearing we could see some channels, some new HD, and this is just a rumor, of course, from DirecTV 11 as early as August 16th.
Wow, that's amazing, Scott. And you know, that's really on par with what Master Deals was reporting in his rumor, that the MPEG-4 to MPEG-2 conversion, or sorry, MPEG-2 to MPEG-4 conversion, was going to be happening sometime around July 30th.
Well, we'll see what happens there. You know, our contacts now are very, very good at DirecTV, and I got to believe what they are hinting to us. You know, sometimes they give us pieces of the puzzle, and we got to put it all together. But I have a good feeling about DirecTV 11, and it's going to be a great thing for DirecTV customers.
Yeah, it definitely will be. And if DirecTV 11 holds true, they're going to definitely be giving Dish a run for their money and the 100 HD channel mark here soon.
Yeah, and last week in my multi-channel news, I actually compared Dish Network's HD with DirecTV's HD numbers, and found some interesting results there. And, you know, DirecTV is really kicking Dish Network's butt, even with the 100 channels, because DirecTV has a lot of RSNs that are 24/7 RSNs, when Dish Network doesn't have a single HD RSN that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, except for Big Ten Network. That's the only 24-hour-a-day HD RSN they currently carry. Other than that, everything is only game time only and only on select games. So one game that you may be seeing your team play tomorrow, and the day after that, your team may be playing again, and they may not carry the HD game. It's all based on transponder space they have up there, and they pick and choose the games they're going to carry in HD. And that's not what DirecTV does. DirecTV has lots of space for all the games and has most of the RSNs 24/7.
Yeah, I know. I have seen a lot of Chicago subscribers complaining because the Cubs game will be on one day, and the next day the Sox game will be on, but the Cubs game won't be. And it's really interesting the fact that Dish counts those as full-time channels when there's not even really hardly a full-time. Maybe it's a 2 to 3 hour block per day. So it's really interesting that they would count that when that's not the case.
Right. And it's all marketing, unfortunately. And the consumers are the ones getting pulled by it. And, you know, you can't blame them for trying to market themselves because they're, you know, been in a world of trouble since AMC 14. And they're trying to pick themselves up by the bootstraps. But, you know, when DirecTV 11 is officially online and they start adding more national HD channels, it's going to make Dish Network's 100 HD channels look like a slim pickings.
So speaking of Dish Network, EchoStar, which is the parent company of Dish Network, launched a new satellite and also lost one. Would you like to explain a little bit more on that, Scott?
Well, Bob, it was really interesting. We had a launch and a loss, as you mentioned. And we'll start off with the loss. Right before EchoStar 11 launched that morning, about 10:30 a.m., we started receiving word at Satellite Guys that EchoStar lost a satellite overnight, that the satellite died for them, that satellite being EchoStar 2. As the day progressed, I started getting more and more information about it, including actual log files of the alarms going off at the uplink center when EchoStar 2 died. So I was trying to contact the PR folks at Dish Network, and they would not reply to me. So that had me really, really believing it. But I didn't want to go on really promoting it just in case it was incorrect because, you know, that could be like insider trading things. People could have dumped their Dish Network stock or whatever because of this information that I had about one of their satellites dying. So, you know, I kept quiet about it, but the information kept pouring in and pouring in and pouring in about it. Anyways, that night at 1 a.m. Eastern time, we all got together for a big party at Satellite Guys. We had a big launch party and watched Echo Star 11 launch. And that was a spectacular, spectacular launch. And everything's going well with that satellite. And when we woke up the next morning, we found out that indeed Echo Star 2 did die. They did put out a release about it saying that it died the day before. It was kind of interesting to see all this happen at Satellite Guys because this was the mecca of the information. It was the only place you could find out about it. Other places wouldn't even let members talk about the possible demise of Echo Star 2. They said only rumor mongers would start talking about stuff like that, but I'm proud that you know, we did let people talk about it, and with the information coming in, I felt fairly comfortable letting people talk about it.
Yeah, Scott, that's certainly awesome. And, you know, just to give people an idea exactly about Echo Star 2, it was originally designed for a 10-year lifespan, and the satellite lived 12 years. So it actually did its service and was fairly well expected to die as Dish Network was trying to get the most out of that bird that they could. So it actually went further than they expected lifespan. Now, as
far as kind of funny about that, sorry, Bob. What was kind of funny about that was they, you know, went to the FCC and asked for permission to move Echo Star 2 from 148 all the way to 77 degrees, which is a pretty far flight for the satellite, especially one that's that old. And actually, on the day the satellite died is the day that the FCC gave approval for Dish Network to move that satellite to its new orbital spot. Unfortunately, that satellite was dead.
Yeah, I know, and it's really interesting at how that all panned out. And also, when the EchoStar XI launched, that was a very, very beautiful launch, and I was watching the All-Star game, like everybody else in the chat room, and watching the satellite launch at the same time, which was kind of interesting.
Right. It was a good time in the chat room. We had a ton of people in there, and it was a spectacular launch. Nighttime launches look incredible because of the how long you can actually see the satellite and the rocket actually going up into space. You can see the red dot keep going and going and going. It's not like a daytime launch where it gets washed out after a while. You could see that thing for a while, and it was just amazing to watch.
So, Scott, we're going to go ahead and change gears.
All right. Well, one of the things I want to talk about is StopSatelliteTax.com. You may have seen some banner ads on it, and we here at Satellite Guys have started running these ads, and we're not charging anybody to run the ads. We're not getting paid for running them. We believe that Satellite Guys members can help other Satellite Guys members out by going to StopSatelliteTax.com and talking to your senators and having them there's a bill going around, and I'm trying to punch it up right now on my computer here for the exact number. But what they're trying to do is prevent taxation of satellite users that's more taxes than what a cable subscriber pays. Because in some areas, people with satellite dishes pay 2 to 3 times more in taxes for their satellite service than what a cable subscriber does pays. And you got to remember that for cable companies, the taxes, you know, go for the infrastructure. But for satellite, it's just beams coming from outer space. So there's no, you know, wear and tear and maintenance and wiring, digging, and all this other stuff going into place. So there doesn't need to be that type of taxation on something that's coming from the sky.
You're exactly right, Scott. And the only thing that satellite really has is the building of the satellites, and once when they're up and launched and successful, they just stay there. They don't do anything there other than beam signals down to your house from the sky. And as a customer, when you go out and get Dish Network and DirecTV and get their deal, you usually pay for installation up front, or there's a cost associated with that installation that Dish Network or DirecTV has already figured into the cost of your programming.
Right. And here in Connecticut, we're actually charged twice on it, on the satellite tax. So we get charged 6%, and then we get another I believe it's almost 6%, again, on a secondary tax, just because you have a satellite system, and that's really unfair. You know, the satellite industry doesn't mind being taxed as long as you're paying what the cable companies are paying for taxes. But it merely makes unfair competition for the satellite companies when the cable companies is going to be cheaper because of the taxes that they're being charged. So, again, I urge everybody to go to stopsatellitetax.com. Read the stuff there. Contact your senators. Tell them to support the bill. And let's see what we can do here. We can all stand together and keep all our bills down. That's all we're trying to do here. And if we can save you money, we're doing good.
So, Scott, you know, every 4 years we get that time of the year where we have the Summer Olympics. And this year it's coming from China.
Yeah, from Beijing and all around China. And some interesting stuff coming up. Sometime later this week, we're going to hear something interesting from Dish Network. Well, at least they tell me that it's interesting regarding the Olympics. And also today, DirecTV put out a press release stating that they're going to have 200 different items on the video on demand service. So if you got one of those HD DVRs that supports the DirecTV on demand service, you will have 200 different things to watch on demand dealing with the Olympics. And that's not even including any of the live Olympics coverage that both Dish Network and DirecTV will have.
Yeah, that on-demand coverage has been fantastic. I have 3 HD DVRs in my house. I'm one of the lucky guys. But that video on demand is awesome. And I was in there the other day watching a 100K run going. And the quality of the high definition that they've been putting through this on-demand has been really on par with what they've been putting out through MPEG-4 channels.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Olympics. I really enjoy watching the Olympics when they come on, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the opening ceremonies look like to see what China can do. Because every year when they open up these Olympic Games, they just get more and more spectacular with their opening ceremonies, and it's a sight to behold.
Yeah, speaking of the Olympics, while we're talking about the Olympics, Chicago is bidding for the Olympics in 2016. I think it's chicago2016.org. Google it, you can find it, but make sure you support Chicago and their Olympic bid coming up here for 2016.
Yeah. Oh, one more big hurdle that I see coming up, and we're kind of switching gears Olympic hurdle, it's almost an Olympic hurdle, is XM Satellite Radio. Today announced they have 9.6 million subscribers. They're almost at the magic 10 million subscriber mark. And when I heard that number, I was kind of surprised. A lot of people I know who I've been talking to about satellite radio have been avoiding it like the plague because they're waiting to see what happens with the whole merger. And I was actually shocked to see that XM grew over a million subscribers in just the last quarter alone, and that's some really excellent growth from XM Satellite Radio.
Yeah, that's good news coming out of XM. And as far as I understand it, they only need one more vote for this merger to pass through the FCC.
Yeah, if it's going to happen within the next 2 weeks, this whole thing, it's got to come to a head. XM's attorneys were told by the FCC to tell their attorneys and lawyers not to take vacations for the next 2 weeks. So something's definitely going on there, and I hope finally it's an approval because I love satellite radio, but since they've announced the entire merger thing, both services have gotten so damn stale. I've almost considered canceling some of my services because they took everything that was great, all the unique programming and stuff like that, and now it's just the same old run-of-the-mill crap that they keep repeating over and over and over again because both companies don't really have enough money to operate and continue pumping into programming because they're all got everything hinging on this merger.
You better bet your bottom dollar that DirecTV and EchoStar is also looking at this merger, because if it does pass, then that's going to give them a reason to go back and maybe potentially try a merger if they feel that's going to be the best for the bottom line. Or it's going to refuel all the rumors out there about merger, and we're not going to see anything.
Right, and speaking of XM and DirecTV, DirecTV did drop 4 of the channels from XM. From the DirecTV lineup, and the reason for that is because XM stopped providing those channels altogether. They had a number of channels such as Special X and On the Rocks, which were really, really unique niche channels. On the Rocks had a lot of wacky type music. You'd hear like Leonard Nimoy singing "Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds" and stuff like that. And On the Rocks was really cool. It was kind of the old 50s and 60s lounge type music. You know, the music you'd listen to with a martini in your hand. And it was a real fun channel. And they were taking off XM's actual satellites a couple years ago, and were put only online. And then when XM came to DirecTV. DirecTV picked up those channels and broadcast them. But now XM has pulled the plug on those channels, so they're no longer available to DirecTV and they're no longer available online. And sorry to see those channels go, but that's the way things go. And speaking of things going, Bob, I think I hear the music.
Yeah, Scott, so that is the music that I hear in the background. And I understand you're working on something for the next edition of the podcast.
Yeah, we're working on something really unique, and it's a Satellite Guys exclusive. We're going to have Dish Network on the line with us for the next podcast. And what Dish Network is going to do is they're going to explain to all the Satellite Guys members and listeners to our podcast more about all the new HD packages, because there's a lot of confusion out there and they want to set the record straight. So that will be on the next edition of the podcast.
That's awesome news, Scott. And well, I think that's the music wrapping up, so we'll see you real soon.
See ya.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.